Last few times I mentioned something about the apparition of the angels in Fatima, and I encourage you to really read my articles in these few weeks about our little Fatima that can refresh your memory about the beautiful story of Our Lady apparition. In the first apparition, May 13, 1917, you know, when Our Lady appeared, Lucia asked Our Lady, first of all, Our Lady said, "Do not be afraid. I will do you no harm." And then Lucia asked Our Lady, "Where are you from?" And then she said, "From heaven." And then Lucia asked the question that she always asked, "What do you want of me?" And Our Lady told her to come, you know, on the 13th day of the month for the next 6 months. And then later on, I will tell you who I am and what I want. Afterwards, I will return here yet a seventh time. And then the seventh time haven't happened yet. So part of the Our Lady prophecy is still waiting to be fulfilled. And then Lucia asked Our Lady, "Am I going to heaven?" Our Lady said, "Yes, you are." And then she asked, "And Jacinta?" "Yes, she will." "And Francisco?" And she said, "He will go there too, but he must say many rosaries." And then she remembered two young ladies who just died recently. And so she asked Our Lady, "Is Maria de Nevers in heaven?" And Our Lady said, "Yes, she is." And she was about 16 when she died. "And Amelia?" And Our Lady said, "She will be in purgatory until the end of the world." And so Amelia was around 18 or 20 when she died. And then Our Lady asked, "Are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings He wills to send you as an act of reparation for the sins by which He is offended and of supplication for the conversion of sinners?" And Lucia responded, "Yes, we are willing." Then Our Lady said, "Then you are going to have much to suffer, but the grace of God will be your comfort." When she mentioned the grace of God, she opened her arms and strong light came to the children. And they saw themselves in God as in a mirror. And then they all fell down and they said the prayer, "O most holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament." And then Our Lady added, "Pray the rosary every day in order to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war." And then she rise up to heaven. So, you know, May 13 in some community traditionally is also honor Our Lady under the title Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament. That's the original title of our English prayer group in Vancouver. Because when I started the prayer group, I was at Corpus Christi Parish. So when I started that group, I was thinking that group will be at Corpus Christi forever. But I'm only there for 2 years. So when we moved, when I was out of Corpus Christi and moved to St. Patrick, I also took the prayer group with me. And so we changed the name to Our Lady of Fatima. But anyhow, it's the same feast day anyway. Because Our Lady of Blessed Sacrament feast day is May 13th. And then Our Lady of Fatima now is May 13th. But you know, when the children see that light, they were inspired by grace of God to say that prayer, "O most holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament." Personally, it's my favorite prayer. Whenever I go into the church, the first prayer I would say is that prayer. You know, because the thing about, you know, when you go to church, you don't know what to say. You know, that will be a good suggestion. If that can be your first prayer, when you dip your holy water and go to the church, you can say, "O most holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament." Now, if you want a copy of that prayer, just get my BC Catholic article for this week. So you will get it, because it's about this apparition and the June apparition. this coming week article. So that's about Our Lady of Fatima. Now today is basically a storytelling day. Okay? This is a book given to me. Oh, it's a Chinese version too. You know, I one of the priests, I really love him, and somebody from my Chinese prayer group, you know, visited him, you know, and he gave me the brown scapular I'm wearing right now inside me, and also this couple of booklets that I can share the story with you people. If you, I don't know if any of you have been to Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish. Some years ago, there was an Italian priest who also speaks Chinese, and his name is Father Mario Rosso. Father Mario Rosso. So Father Mario Rosso had a great devotion to Our Lady. And so when some of my friends from the Chinese group visited him, he also gave me some booklets, which are about this brown scapular. So today I just want to tell you many stories about the brown scapular. And then the two other meetings, I would say maybe we will also talk a bit more about devotion to Our Lady. And then our second meeting in August, for those who want, you can be enroll with the brown scapular if you want to, okay? But today I will tell you different aspects of the brown scapular in a way that with a lot of stories, okay? A lot of story. Before the birth of our Lord, Elijah the prophet was on Mount Carmel, you know, praying for rains. And after Elijah taken up to heaven, his disciple continued to pray there on Mount Carmel. There was a legend that, you know, on the Feast of Pentecost, the spiritual descendant of Elijah followed, you know, they came down from Mount Carmel, and they also received the Christian message and baptized by the apostles. So they saw Our Lady, and they had that devotion for Our Lady. And they continue to treasure that legacy of devotion to Our Lady on Mount Carmel. And then later on, in the year 1241, when the crusaders returned from the Holy Land, they also brought a group of religious from Mount Carmel. And so they were in Europe, and they were there to continue a way of monastic life. And then when that community was having difficulty, I think that was in the year perhaps 1251, St. Simon Stock, here is his relics, was praying in the evening. He was praying to Our Lady of Mount Carmel at night time on July 15, until the morning of July 16. That night, he was praying. And on July 16, Our Lady appeared to St. Simon Stock. And one of the important promises Our Lady, you know, she handed St. Simon Stock brown wooden scapular, and she spoke these words: "This shall be the privilege for you and all Carmelites, that anyone dying in this habit shall not suffer eternal fire." So that's a specific promise. Think about the month. So the month their religious habit, you know, would be a really long cloth at the front, and then a long one at the back. So that's how the monk dressed. Okay? And then, but the church wants that, you know, brown scapular can be extended to as many people as possible, because whoever wears this when they die would not suffer eternal fire. Pretty big promise, huh? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have something like a small scapular, you know, like the one I'm wearing, given by Father Mario. This is the front, a small one. So, and then the back is the back. So, it's one at the front, one at the back. So it's a really small one, but it's a brown scapular. So it's a habit that connect the person who wear with the Carmelite order.
So when wearing the brown scapular,
if you are officially enrolled with the brown scapular, it's a sign that you are actually enrolled into the confraternity of Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
So this is a really good good way to wear the scapular. And there have been a lot of different stories about the power of the bronze scapular. It was said that one time there was a man in a town near Chicago was called to the bedside of a man who had been away from the sacraments for many years. The man did not want to see the priest and he would not talk. Then the priest asked the man to look at the little scapular that he was holding. And the priest asked, "Will you wear this if I put it on you?" "I ask nothing more." So he agreed to wear the brown scapular. And within the hour, he wanted to go to confession and make his peace with God. And the priest said, "This does not surprise me, because for over 700 years, Our Lady has been working in this way through her scapular." There was a story that the day that St. Simon Stock, when he received the bronze scapular from Our Lady, somebody asked him to be hurried to a particular person. The person who asked St. Simon Stock to go said, "Come quickly, Father. My brother is dying in despair." So St. Simon Stock left at once for the bedside of the dying man. Upon arrival, because the man was dying in despair, St. Simon Stock placed his large scapular over the man and asking Our Lady to keep her promise. Remember the promise, whoever wear the brown scapular when they die would not suffer eternal fire. Immediately, the man repented and died in the grace and friendship of God. That night, the dead man appeared to his brother and said, "I have been saved through the most powerful queen and the habit of that man as a shield." Now, the bronze scapular is a devotion of many saints, including two religious founders, St. Alphonsus the Glory, who found the Redemptress, and also St. John Bosco, who found the Salesian. Now, when they were buried, when they died, they were buried with their bronze scapular, and then they also dressed them with Christy vestment, and then they buried their body. When they exhumed their tomb, their body, they find that everything composed already. And then the body reduced to ashes and bones. But what was only intact for both cases, in both cases, was their bronze scapular. For St. Alphonsus the Glory, and also for St. John Bosco. So, the devil also against those who promote the scapular. One time there was a Venerable Francis, and now his last name is Y-E-P-E-S, what's the name? Okay, so one day, he fell off the scapular. The scapular fell off. And so he got a new one to replace it. Now, one thing is that it's good to know that, let's say if you are enrolled the grand scapular ceremony enrollment, when the priest bless you and enroll you in the bronze scapular, once you are enrolled, you are always enrolled. And so the blessing follow you for the rest of your life. If you wear a bronze scapular and that bronze scapular get wore out and you have to replace it, you can, of course, you take away the old one, and then when you put on the new one automatically bless. So the blessing follow you. Of course, it's still good, if you want, you can ask the priest to give a simple blessing for your new scapular. But even if you don't bless it, have that blessed, when you wear that, it's automatically blessed, because the blessing follow you once you are enrolled. So, as he replaced it, the devil yell and say, "Take off the habit which snatches so many souls from us. And then Francis makes the devil admit that there are three things which the demons are most afraid of: the holy name of Jesus, the holy name of Mary, and the holy scapular of Carmel. And to that list, we could add the Holy Rosary. Because, of course, when we wear the brown scapular, you will learn that later on, usually those who wear the brown scapular also pray the Rosary. When we pray the Rosary, we use the name Jesus and Mary a lot when we pray the Rosary. Now, St. Peter Claver, the saint who signed himself the slave of slaves, you know, because he was the one who helped a lot of slaves to become Catholic. So every time a shipment of 1,000 slaves arrived, you know, at South America in Colombia, St. Peter used to ensure the salvation of his convert. First, he organized catechists to give them instruction. Then he saw to it that they were baptized and clothed with the scapular. And so he actually helped more than 300,000 people convert to the Catholic faith. So many to look after. So he let Our Lady look after them. He clothed them all with the brown scapular. And then Our Lady looked after them. There was a story how Our Lady protect those who wear the brown scapular. So he has a few stories of protection. One time there was a Carmelite, and he was also a missionary. Remember, the Carmelite have the habit, the brown scapular, a big one, a real big habit. So he was going to do a burial in a cemetery, internment camp. So the Arab bus driver make the priest get off the bus 4 miles from the camp, because the road must dangerously be muddy. And so he had to walk for 4 miles to the cemetery. So after walking 2 miles, the missionary found his feet sinking deeper and deeper. And then he tried to get to the solid ground. But the muddy flue, you know, he was getting deeper and deeper. And now he was thinking he was going to sink to his death in this isolated place. And so he thought of Our Lady and her scapular. So he kissed the great scapular that he was wearing as the religious. And then, because he was in the Holy Land, he looked toward the holy mountain of Mount Carmel, and he cried out, "Holy Mother of Carmel, help me, save me." A moment later, he found himself on solid ground. Later he said, "I know I was saved by the Blessed Virgin through her brown scapular. My shoes were lost in the mud, and I was covered with it, but I walked the remaining 2 miles praising Mary." Okay, more story. Another story about brown scapular is in the year 1845. The late summer of that year, the English ship, the king of the ocean, found itself in the middle of a wild hurricane. As the wind and sea mercilessly slashed the ship, a Protestant minister, together with his wife and children and other passengers, struggled to the deck to pray for mercy and forgiveness as the end seemed at hand. Among the crew was a young Irishman. What religion is the Irish? Catholic, right? John. Young John. Like young Henry. Not John, okay? On seeing the urgency of the situation, the youth opened his shirt, took up his scapular, making the sign of the cross with it over the raging waves, tossed it into the ocean. At that very moment, the wind calmed. Only one more wave washed the deck, bringing with it the scapular, which came to rest at the boy's feet. All the while, the minister, Mr. Fisher, had been carefully observing his actions and miraculous effect of those actions. Upon questioning the young man, they were told about the Holy Virgin and her scapular.
Mr. Fisher and his family were so impressed that they were determined to enter the Catholic Church as soon as possible and thereby enjoy the same protection of Our Lady's scapula. So, another story. In the year 1957, in May, a Carmelite priest in Germany published the unusual story how the scapula saved a home from fire. The entire row of homes had caught fire in West Boden, Germany. The pious inhabitants of two family homes, seeing the fire, immediately fastened a scapula to the main door of the house. Sparks flew over it and around it, but the house remained unharmed. Within 5 hours, 22 homes had been reduced to ashes. The one structure which stood unharmed amidst the destruction was that which had the scapula attached to its door. The hundreds of people who came to see the place Our Lady had saved are eyewitnesses to the power of the scapula and the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Another story. One of the most extraordinary of all scapula incidents took place right here in the United States. So you know where this book came from. It happened around the turn of century in the town of Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, that a man was cut in two by a train. He was wearing a scapula. Instead of dying instantly as is usual, he remained alive and conscious for 45 minutes, just enough time until a priest could arrive to administer the last sacraments. This and the other such incident tell us that our Blessed Mother will take personal care of us in the hour of our death. Now, another story. A French priest who had gone on pilgrimage. On the way to say Mass, he remembered he had forgotten his scapula. He knew he would be late if he went back to retrieve it, but he could not envision offering Mass at Our Lady's altar without her scapula. Later, as he was offering the holy sacrifice, a young man approached the altar, pulled out a gun, and shot the priest in the back. To the amazement of all, the priest continued to say the prayers of the Mass as though nothing had occurred. It was at first presumed that the bullet had miraculously missed its target. However, upon examination, the bullet was found adhering to the little bronze scapula which the priest had so obstinately refused to be without. So, another thing is, some people might ask the question, can we give the bronze scapula to non-Catholics? Now, the answer is yes. If they are non-Catholic, they can receive a blessed scapula. Okay, they cannot be enrolled officially, but they can have a scapula blessed and given to them, and they can wear it, okay, for non-Catholic. So, we should give to non-Catholic the bronze scapula, for Our Lady will bring conversions to those who wear it and say one Hail Mary each day. Now, an old man was rushed to the hospital in New York City, unconscious and dying. The nurse, seeing the bronze scapula on the patient, called the priest. As the prayers were being said for the dying man, he became conscious and spoke up, "Father, I am not a Catholic." Then the priest asked, "Then why are you wearing the bronze scapula?" And the person explained, "I promised my friend to wear it and say one Hail Mary a day." And the priest asked, "You are dying. Do you want to become a Catholic?" And the dying man replied, "All my life I wanted to be one." So he was baptized, received the last rites, and died in peace. Our Lady took another soul under her mantle through her scapula.
And then in October 1952, an air officer in Texas wrote the following: 6 months ago, shortly after I started wearing the scapula, I experienced a remarkable change in my life. Almost at once, I started going to Mass every day. After a short time, I started going to receive Holy Communion daily. I kept Lent with a fervor that I had never experienced before. I was introduced to the practice of meditation and found myself making feeble attempts on the way to perfection. I've been trying to live with God. I credit Mary's scapula. So, now, here is a story about somebody who, you know, if we wear the bronze scapula, but we still just want to remain in sin, that's no good. Okay? In the Spanish Civil War, remember last time I lost a relic from the martyrs of the Civil War, in the 1930s, 7 communists were sentenced to death because of their crimes. A Carmelite priest tried to prepare the men for death. They refused. As a last resort, he brought the men secret food, wine, you know, assuring that they would not talk religion. So they smoked, they drank, they eat, and after a short while, they all become friendly. And then he asked them one small favor. Will you permit me to place a scapula on each of you? 6 agree, 1 refused. Soon, all scapular wearers went to confession. The 7 continued to refuse. Only to please the other 6, he put on a scapular. He would do nothing more. Morning came, and as the moment of execution drew near, the 7 men made it clear that he was not going to ask for the priest. Although wearing the scapular, he was determined to go to his death, an enemy of God. Finally, the command was given, so they shot the fire, and the 7 lifeless bodies lie in the dust. Miraculously, a scapula was found about 50 paces from the bodies. The 6 men died with Mary's scapula. The 7 died without the scapula. Now, another thing he said, you know, you ask, what if I decide to die in my sins? And the saints answer, then you will die in your sins, but you will not die in your scapula. That same saint, St. Claude, which is the spiritual director of St. Margaret Mary, tell another story, a man who tried to drown himself 3 times. He was rescued each time against his will. At last, he realized that he was wearing the scapula. Determined to take his own life, he tore the scapula from his neck, leaped into the water, and without Mary's protective garment, he accomplished his wish. He died in his sin. So when you wear the scapula, don't determine to die in your sin, okay? Now, there is, in November 1955, a plane carrying 27 passengers crashed. All died, except one young lady. When this girl saw that the plane was going down, she took hold of her scapula and called on Mary for help. She suffered burns. Her clothing was reduced to ashes, but her scapula was not touched by the flames. The same year of 1955, a similar miracle occurred in the Midwest. A 3rd grader stopped in a gasoline station to put air in his bicycle tires. But at that very moment, an explosion occurred. The boy's clothing was burned off, but his bronze scapula remained unaffected, a symbol of Mary's protection. Even though he bore a few scars from the explosion, this young man has special reason to remember the Blessed Mother's protection in time of danger. Now, here is an interesting story. There was a soldier.
he was in the army. And then they have a little house they found. And so they have a time to wash away their sweat and dust. And they were really like that opportunity. And so he put his jacket on top, on the ground, and then hand the scapula on the pump when he washed. An hour later, they received an order to proceed about a mile and a half further to occupy a place there. And then they were looking forward to be able to get a peaceful night's sleep. And then when he was about to lie down and was unbuttoning himself, the collar, to his horror, he found out he no longer had the scapula. It had been a gift from the mother. So that had been with him during the war, and now they are approaching the lion's den, and so he found, how can I be deprived of it? So to go back a mile and a half is a bit unthinkable, so he tried not to think about that and go to sleep, but he couldn't sleep. So he decided, because all the buddies were sleeping like that man, and so he decided to go back a mile and a half and to get the bronze scapula. So he managed to get back, and then it was so dark, and then he went to the farm, to the house, and then to the pump. But when he searched, he couldn't find the bronze scapula. So where was that? And suddenly when he was going back, when he was about to go back, he heard explosion. Boom! And then he was thinking to himself, what should I do? Was it a sign of enemy attack? So as far as he could, he went back to where he was supposed to be sleeping. And maybe he could do something for his buddies over there. But when he went back, he saw the engineers busily at work, hurrying to remove all the piles of dirt over there. The very spot that they were sleeping, the enemy actually, before they left, they placed a time bomb there. And so all his buddies were dead. And he thought he was the only one to survive. So he thought all his buddies were dead. The next morning, when he went to the kitchen, he saw a buddy there. So he looked at him with astonishment and said, I thought you were there. And then the other said, I thought you were there and buried there too. So the friend said, you know, I was lying there, but before I went to sleep, I went looking for you, but I couldn't find you. And then, you know, one of the more superior person, you know, saw me hunting around and asked me what I wanted. And then so I told him what I was doing there. And then the man said, be sensible. So instead of going to that inn nearby and get me a bottle of water. So when he was getting the water, then the explosion occurred. And so, well, I escaped it by a hair's breadth too. And then he replied, but why on earth were you looking for me so late last night? And then the man said, to give you this. And then he was giving the bronze scapula. So the bronze scapula saved the life of two soldiers. So, a lot of story, huh? Interesting. So this is another one is about somebody was in World War II, a lot of close call, but he wore the bronze scapula, so at the end he was alive and kicking around, no problem. And then Pius the 12th, you know, Pope, he see the bronze scapula as a sign of consecration to the Immaculate Hearts of Mary. We know that, you know, Pius the 12th consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart. He also consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart. And then when John Paul II consecrated the whole world to the Immaculate Heart in 1984, he intended to renew the consecration of Pius the 12th, at that time with communion with all the bishops in the world. So Pius the 12th have a great devotion to Our Lady. And our group called Queenship of Mary, right? The Feast of Queenship of Mary is also instituted by Pius the 12th. who had great devotion to the Immaculate Heart. So he said that, you know, the scapula is a sign of consecration to the Immaculate Heart. And, you know, I remember personally, you know, is I did think about at that time, I still think, you know, that the bronze scapula that really saved my life. You know, one of the really close one is that when I was 16, you know, at that time when I just got the bronze scapula, it was when I first know about the devotion of the bronze scapula, so start wearing the bronze scapula. And then, you know, in Hong Kong, it's all apartment, tall apartment. Huh? So one day when I was just walking, you know, right behind me, a big stone came, boom, you know, it must be some crazy guy from the top throw a stone out while I was walking by. And then the stone just a couple of seconds just, you know, missed it. So I was thinking at that time, oh, maybe because I wear the bronze scapula, I wasn't dead. You know, that was quite some years ago. I still remember that because only a few seconds, if I'm perhaps slow for a few seconds, I will be gone already. You know, it's just so close that time. So I do believe the bronze scapula is really, really, really amazing devotion. Usually, when people wear the bronze scapula, of course, I mentioned it can be just a bronze scapula and you wear it, right? And even non-Catholic can wear that. If you are Catholic, you can be also officially enrolled into the confraternity of Mount Carmel. If you are enrolled into the confraternity of Mount Carmel, you have to observe three conditions, okay? Three things you should do. If you do three things, you will get a special blessing, which Our Lady promised that she will be graciously exercised in favor of her devoted servants on the day consecrated to her Saturday. So Our Lady helped people to the souls in purgatory who in their lifetime really honor Our Lady of Mount Carmel to be able to get to heaven on Saturday fast. So the three things that should do is, one, must wear the scapula. So usually, you know, when I wear the scapula, I wear that, you know, inside my shirt, but on top of my underwear. So it's undershirt. I mean, so it's in between. So it's easy to wear. So this is the wear the brown scapula. And of course, if you have to take a shower, you have to take it away for a little time. But usually, normally during the day when you are sleeping, then you wear the brown scapula. Second is to observe chastity according to our state in life. So if you are single, there's chastity. If you are a married person, there's married people have to observe chastity according to married state. And then if you are consecrated to God, it will be consecrated to God chastity. The third one is to recite the little office of Our Blessed Mother. Now, used to be that office is a bit long. Okay, nowadays there's a newer version which is a bit shorter, but also usually because many people they will find to pray five decades of the rosary easier than to recite the little office of Our Lady, so the one who enroll can also change that requirement into five decades of the rosary instead. So in the past, only Carmelite priests can enroll people to the confraternity of Mount Carmel. But nowadays, basically, any priest and deacon can do that. In the old days, you know, even in the old days, around the turn of the century, the 20th century, Leo XIII grant all confessor, all priests who have faculty to hear confession can enroll people to the bronze scapula, the confraternity of Mount Carmel. So, you can think about that. If you want to be enrolled of Our Lady of Mount Carmel or receive a blessed scapula, we can do so in our second meeting in August. Okay? Think about that.